Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How are your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not of God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him and heard this said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Through this series of pericopes for this cycle of the Gospel for this year, we are coming to the understanding of the importance of the sacramental life of the Church, and the reality of this participation in grace is an imperative for salvation. In short, we see in the world blindness manifests itself by those who are convicted that they don't need a Messiah, they don't need the Church, they don't need, as they always like to say, organized religion, even though the Christ was the first to really do it. The Christ, even in this Gospel, is very concerned for the man that was born blind because he's going to be thrown out of the synagogue. And of course, the reality is, Christ comes to fulfill what Judaism was about. So, of course, they're going to be opposed to him. But the motivation for that opposition is spiritual blindness, the same blindness that disaffects the souls that are convicted in their worldliness. They don't need the Christ, they don't need the Church, and that all ways lead to God, whether it be gods in the form of Buddha or Allah or some Confucius notions or Nirvana, as a Buddhist would say. But the reality is, these are all falsities. They are not true. And only those who are blind say they are true. And that's why the blind, ironically, in the spiritual sense, often try to lead other spiritually blind people down particular roads. Misery loves company. And so people that are living a worldly life, people that are living a life that is corrupted by sin, are interiorly always miserable, which is why they constantly pursue the sin, they constantly pursue the entertainment value, they constantly pursue something, because they never can stand to be in the quiet and alone where the voice of their conscience might be heard. And therefore, anyone that reminds them of sanctity or quiet or holiness, all combined in that way, they're always dead set opposed to them, because they might awaken in the conscience something that they don't want to hear. This is the reality of the Catholic life, of course, that the laity are supposed to be out there as the light of Christ in the world, effectively disturbing the consciences of sinners. Think of the cowardice, the pure cowardice of the blind man's parents. They're practically denying, as best they can, that their son has been miraculously healed. But they're so afraid of not fitting in. They're so afraid of not being like everyone else. They're like modern Catholic laity who go out of their way to not act Catholic, who go out of their way to not do those things that indicate the Catholic faith because it might be unpopular. It might make people not like them. In other words, they don't like the consequences, the social consequences that would come upon them, so therefore they clearly do not know Christ, because if they did, they'd be willing to sacrifice everything for him. But instead, they know themselves quite well, and they're afraid. They're afraid of the world. They're afraid of not fitting in. And that's why they want everything dumbed down in the faith. That's why they want everything to be ordinary. Stick a piano in the church with a microphone and let someone do a solo act. May as well put a beer mug on the piano so people can put tips in it. But it makes the conscience feel good when everything is normal. When we transcend that which is natural, going into God's realm, the supernatural, people who don't want to live for God get very uncomfortable, and in many cases, very hostile. In other words, they embrace blindness. The Pool of Siloam was, in ancient times, the only water source for Jerusalem. It has its origins in God permitting it, especially in response to the prayers of Isaiah the prophet. And it would ebb and flow, and there are times when it wouldn't flow and times when it wouldn't. There was one point when God would only let it flow during the Sabbath, demonstrating, because it's at the foot of Mount Zion, it demonstrates the water coming down from the temple, which translates into Ezekiel's visions in the Old Testament and St. John's vision in the book of Revelation, that the water flows from the New Jerusalem. That is to say, the grace of God flows freely. And that's why the Lord sends him to the pool of Siloam, so that he will know that it's a miracle, but also because of the fact that our Lord does something that is counterintuitive. You don't put clay on someone's eyes in order to make them see. That makes them even more blind. But our Lord is demonstrating that he is not using a natural remedy. It is supernatural. And so he sends him to the pool of Siloam, which, as John translates, means sent, because water was sent from Mount Zion down into where the people needed it. The water was sent down from the temple. The grace of God sent down. Christ calls himself the one who is sent, which translates from the ancient prophecy. That will be the name of the Messiah, the one who is sent. And when Christ has his disputes, and I stress disputes, because remember, most people who have compromised with the world want Jesus to be a pot-smoking hippie who just wants everybody to be happy. And actually, some Catholics do believe that, by the way. So they can't fathom that Christ would dispute and fight with the Pharisees. They can't fathom Christ fashioning a whip into cords and beating people out of the temple precincts, which is, I remind you, is the equivalent of Jesus chasing you out of the parking lot because you're talking in the parking lot. That's how strict our Lord is. It wasn't in the Holy of Holies where you are in the church, but when Jesus runs them out of the temple precincts, it's the same thing as a parking lot. People don't want to see Jesus having zeal for his Father. They just wanted to see him accepting them however they are. Spiritual blindness, it fosters the ignorance of that which is seen. Christ shows his supernatural power with the clay. Christ shows by the pool of Siloam the reality that he is the Messiah. Christ shows everyone the reality of what he has come to do, because it is not sin in the personal sense that made the man born blind sinful. It was original sin. And Christ has come to free man from the bondage of original sin. But unfortunately, too many people choose slavery to sin, and that's because too many Catholics have chosen slavery to sin. Typically, slavery to their own pride. Even if they're not committing the grave sins that the world does, they would still have a tendency out of pride to be too afraid to speak out against sin, to be too afraid to try to save souls from the snares of the devil, who always sets a velvet trap, which makes people comfortable in the trap, and they don't realize that they are trapped. And once they see the need to escape, the trap tightens and there is no escape. And so spiritual blindness makes us believe that when we're living in that trap, it's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be in this much difficulty. We're supposed to be in this much pain. Everything's supposed to be this chaotic and abnormal. I'm supposed to be self-absorbed and narcissistic and only caring about my own petty little problems, not thinking that if I were to die tomorrow, my petty little problems might still be there, but I wouldn't, and therefore I won't be judged by my bank account, my retirement account. I'll be judged by how I knew, loved, and served Christ in this world. And if I know, love, and serve my problems in this world instead of the Christ, how would I be judged? With this being that time, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, where you do not think about the things and concerns of the world, you lay them aside and consider only the things of God. Indeed, the reality of the representation of the one true sacrifice. So consider the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees, because too many modern Catholics have embraced it. Too many modern Catholics don't want to believe Christ, or they constantly want Christ to prove himself, even though he has shown them time and time again, but their pride won't let them see. It's never enough. We want something more. We want something more. We want something more. Is that not the epitome of pride? It's all about me and what I want. When the Christ affords us freedom from the prison that is self-love, freedom from the prison that is sin. But the enemy wants us to believe that prison is the best place for us and we're safer there. And too many people believe that. So consider the reality of this great miracle, and consider the reality of Bishop Sidonius, because that is who tradition holds this blind man becomes, a bishop of the church, who will go far and wide to spread the good news of salvation. In other words, he went to the pool of Siloam, the pool of the sent. And that's why he asked the Pharisees, do you too want to be his disciples? His own parents were too cowardly. The Pharisees were too proud. But Sidonius, the man born blind, was humble and healed. And the only thing he can do is serve Christ with his life. And so he did, and would die at a ripe old age, having spread the good news of salvation far into Europe. So let us consider our own lives then, because we get more every time we come to the Blessed Sacrament. Of course, when we come to receive Jesus, we have to have been to confession, no mortal sins on our souls, and therefore disposed to receive the graces. But once we do, we receive so much more than the clay that healed that man's eyes. We're in communion with the Christ himself, body, blood, soul, divinity, and he is closer to us in our souls than our souls are closer to themselves right after you receive communion. He's giving you so much more. When Sidonius was given this great gift of sight, he started serving Christ. When Christ gives you today his whole self, body, blood, soul, divinity, as he has done every week, can you say today, and can you say in the weeks past, as we're now in the midway point of Lent, that with this great gift you've lived for Christ, or have you lived for yourself? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.